Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Greetings and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. We're grateful for each of you that will join us tonight. And as always, we appreciate those who have followed us over the years. Now, tonight, we're going to have our two-hour segment, we intend to. However, Pastor Walla, our co-host, is going to take over here in just a little bit, and I expect him to be joining us fairly soon here. And we want you to be engaged. We had a pretty good topic tonight, pretty good topic. Well, when I say good, what do you mean by that, Dr.? I mean it's very relevant. And I hope that it helps many of us, certainly myself included, to understand how to put things in perspective, okay? Now, in the typical urban American experience, there are occurrences that many would not believe happen. In general, children are exposed to behaviors and even conversations that are well above or beyond their understanding in their young experiences. As a consequence, too often we see them struggling to overcome challenges that simply to the average person would seem incredible, someone who's looking from the outside in. Moreover, it's hard for the majority to accept the reality that this is a struggle, emotionally, often physically, psychologically. Despite the hardness of any challenge, though, that's the good news. There is a lesson that can make us stronger and wiser. And we hope to hear from a sister who made that point, So join me tonight, and our co-host, Pastor Ricky Walla, again, I expect him to be joining us here shortly, as we talk from the topic, how your struggle can make. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That's what we want to talk about tonight. Pastor Wallace joined us, and he's going to take over the conversation there. Let's just bring him right on in right now. Welcome, Brother Pastor. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm all right, Pastor Doctor. How you doing?
Man, we're holding in the road. Holding in the road. And I'm looking forward to passing this on to you, sir, how your struggle can make you strong. I know you can talk about that, can't you?
Yeah, man. I think that's good news, that brother. You know, sir. How your struggle can make you strong. So that's something that I'm kind of familiar with that.
you know a little something about that?
Do a little something about that. It's not easy, but it could be accomplished.
Yes, sir. If you will, allow me to give our audience a little basis for our conversation, the monologue, and I'm going to turn it right over to you, sir. You're listening to Talk Straight. The number to call, and Pastor will share this with you as we go forward, is 657-383-0944. Join us, Facebook Live. Get in this conversation. I know that Pastor does this, and this is a major aspect of ministry with New Way Outreach Ministry, which he is the pastor of, as well as his nonprofit, right? And he's put a lot of this stuff in words, a lot of his own personal experiences, but I won't try to tell this story. I can't tell it like you can, so I'll leave it to him. But nonetheless, let's get through this little monologue, then we'll turn the phone right over to Big Brother and Pastor. And once we get our callers come in, I'll let you know when they join us here. But you just lead us down this path of righteousness, my friend. Just a minute here. Again, it's April 15th, 2021. Man, time is flying. Time is flying. My goodness. We're talking from the top. How your struggle can make you strong. Mm. Thomas, a character we call Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, they also call him Didymus. In John 20, in verse 24-25, listen to what it said. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Mm. 25 says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Can you believe that, Brother Pastor? Can you believe, man?
Yes.
Can you believe,
Thomas?
Go ahead.
He just found it hard to believe. He said, I don't know if that's going to be easy to believe. So he wanted to see some things, you know.
Yeah. We'll come back to it. That was John 20, 24 and 25. Okay. All right, we'll come back to it in just a minute. But listen to this. Social drama is what we call shocking, or it's a result, I should say, the trauma of social drama is the result of shocking experiences or events, situations that can have psychologically disturbing effects. So let me give you an example on that. Natural calamities. We've had tornadoes here in Nashville, right? And we've had a bombing here. And all over the country, we've seen shootings and riots and what have you. Wars, major incidents, kidnapping, people that are mourning and what have you. Unfortunately, right here in Nashville, a baby was killed the other night when people were having a vigil, you know. It's kind of rough. Children often are exposed to these type of things, and they don't really understand what's going on. You know, some people that don't live that experience say, I can't believe that. They're like Thomas, I don't believe that. That can't be real. But whichever the case is, when the community is facing these type of things, Pastor, and young people see death on a regular basis, and they don't have the opportunity for anyone to process them through that, to counsel them, explain that, and let them know that it's going to be all right, right? You don't have to be on guard to kill so that you're not killed. If you don't have that, that becomes a real issue and a problem. You will recall that in 2017, on a show we did, I introduced the concept of ghetto trap syndrome. Ghetto trap syndrome, or GST. Now, let me just explain what that is for the listeners and those that are following us. I coined this phrase from the reality that what it is a socioeconomically engineered disease. Wait a minute, doctor, what you mean? In other words, somebody set a trap. I think Pastor's going to help you learn who set that trap. Somebody, though, set a trap. You understand what I'm saying? I'm calling it ghetto trap syndrome, and I'm saying professionally it's a socially economically engineered trap disease where you are born in a broken home. What you mean by that, doctor? Well, you don't have the opportunity to have all the lessons, all the love, all the support, all the guidance that you need. That don't make you a bad person, but too often it happens, especially throughout urban America. I was one of those. I was one of those. But God, okay, I ain't going to preach. Well, not only mm-hmm. did you come from a home situation, but you live in a poor community where it's distressed and everybody is struggling. Not only that, but you receive a bad or poor substandard education. We tell young people, get an education that empowers you, that takes you to the next level. But what if that's messed up? What if it's not good for you? Then this is part of the characteristic. You're exposed to acts of violence that causes you to feel like at an early age, right, that I have to be on guard or I ain't the person that gets killed or that check out of here. This is a situation that is all too real for too many, too often, right? In other words, you're in a position where you feel like I'm fighting the world by myself. Now, you would say, well, that's why you got parents, why you got guardians, people to take care of you. Unfortunately, for many young people, they'll tell you, and I have listened to them as a professional in various counseling situations, and even as a pastor, well, that sounds good. And even though somebody don't believe it, my struggle is real. Question is, how can we make you strong with that struggle? I wrote a book back in 2006, and I listed in it 20 character types of Afro-American males, okay? And the purpose of that was to kind of understand what drives the behavior and the mentality and the mindset of certain things we see within the experience, okay? And one of the character types I listed, so let me just say the book was entitled Let Us Make a Goddamn Man, Antidotes for the Identity Crisis of the Afro Male. Now, goddamn is not a cuss word. It's what it said, God am. To exist like God. Let us make men that exist like God. All right? Well, and this particular character type is from a gangster mentality to a goddamn man. This was what we call male character crisis number 10. This was 10 of the 20. Gerald goes by the street name, and I don't know anybody named G. These names are arbitrary, okay? But goes by the street name Little G. He grew up in the inner city, and all he knew is gang life and culture. As a little child, he watched all of the sequels to the Godfather saga, and became to identify with the bravado character types of many criminals like Al Capone and Bugsy Siegel and folk like that. He's nothing more. To him, there's nothing more important than being around his friends and in that social environment. That's very, very important. In fact, anything he wants, as the gangster he is, he just steps up on somebody to take it. He ain't asking you for permission. He ain't asking for nothing. But because he's a gangster, what he's learned about gangster, you take it. You don't ask for nothing. You take it, whatever you want. Get no permission. What you mean? The only real family that he learned to bond with, trust, and get validation from were those who he hung out with on the street or the game. Sole purpose in life, he has been said to say, is to die like a gangster. Now, let me say something. This is a real case study based on my engagement experience over the last 25 years. Names have changed, but a real situation. Okay? Let's just identify some issues here with this young brother. He suffers from a poor bond with his immediate family. And we can see that, obviously, there's no voice of authority from a father and a mother for him. Okay? He identifies, his identity, rather, is shaped by these primary external influences. What do you mean by external? Things outside of his home, his family. Right? That's where he goes, and that's what influences him. That's what motivates him. That's what he aspires to be like. He lacks parental instruction, as I said. And he's headed, fortunately, an untimely death. Well, how can you predict that, Doctor? Let me tell you something, beloved. It's just a matter of time. When you have the mentality that you take what you want without regards to others, it's a matter of time before you run up on the right one. And that could be it for you. It could be all over. Heaven forbid. But we see that too often. And we got a lot of young people who take the position that in order for me to be happy, to thrive, to survive, I got to do that. Well, the danger there is you're going to run upon the wrong people. And it's not just white people that are arming themselves in 2021, but there are a great many who are saying to themselves, I'm afraid, and thus I have to defend myself against certain things. That's part of the problem, and that's what our hope is to allow us not to be afraid of one another, but to address these issues that are real in this struggle, and let that make us strong. Let that make us strong. I want you to consider something before I turn the floor over to Pastor Wally here. Now, there's a concept called apparent conditioning, right? And it's the type of learning, socialization, where behavior is controlled by punishment or reward. In other words, you're afraid of getting some sort of uncomfortable feeling or treatment. Or you're happy to be rewarded for doing what is expected of you. We're talking about apparent conditioning. Key concepts in apparent conditioning are what's known as positive reinforcement by a fellow named Carrot and negative reinforcement. Researcher, psychologist, wrote about a last name, Sick. Won't go into it right now. Positive punishment and negative punishment is basically what it is. When you're conducting research, or when I did so, anyway, some years ago when I was doing my doctoral study, I put together the theory that within the ghetto experience, and I've come from the ghetto, so I can talk about this a little bit from personal experience. In the ghetto, it exists an invisible line, if you will. It's amazing to me. Growing up, I thought about how I grew up in the projects of Chicago, and little rascal, I can go fight everybody from one project building to another. But when it came time to going outside of that and involving those folks who came there for football games, for baseball games, basketball games, looked like we were afraid to even go over there and look at them, touch their cars. Most of us were, not all of them, but most of us were, right? This is an example of old parent conditioning I'm talking about. Somehow, the trap that was set had me and many others today thinking that the best way for us to live is to turn on one another. If I'm going to steal, if I'm going to rob, if I'm going to do anything, I ain't going to go out there and bother them other folks. I'm going to do it to my brother. Subconsciously, he understands. He already know. He know where I'm coming from. Well, the problem is, at some point, your brother's going to get tired of being the victim. And guess what that does? It leads to what we call black-on-black crime, where we are at one another's throats. Is that good? Absolutely not. This is Pastor Waller, right quickly, and I'm gonna let you have it here, bro, Pastor. Mary J. Blige, I was listening to my daughter's music, trying to get a feel for what was on her mind, you understand, bro, Pastor. And In the process, I ran across one of her people she was listening to, sister called Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
And she had a pretty powerful song. I said, girl, that's positive. I like that. Yeah. And let's just for a second, this is what Mary J. Blige says about a struggle. It's about crying because of. Here's what she says. We'll get right to it, Will. But these are things, as we chew it up, these are things that she pointed out.
That has nothing to do with what I think. It's just that it's a trap It's been set, and any time a trap captures someone, give you a good example, and I know a lot of people may not have ever looked at it that way, but the Bible says that the devil, the enemy, the wicked one, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's a lot of people, man, that that gets lured into the trap, and that's where the devouring comes in at. Yes, the trap is real, and I thank God for the way to escape. And it's good to be here, to be able to intercede on behalf of you, Pastor Dockery, for the work that you have been doing as well as what you're doing now. We want to encourage anyone who desire to tap into the service tonight. You know, the power of God is in the house. The word says, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing. And he said he would be in the midst of us. So that topic is a topic that God knows, he's my witness, that I'm very familiar with the trap, man. And I remember when I was not strong, I was weak. And so I didn't give up in my struggle. And so we just want to ask, if that happened to be you and you tuned in, we ask you to call tonight. The number is 657-383-0944. We would like to entertain your thought, comments, but nevertheless, let's keep it on the topic. If you decide to stay on the topic, then, you know, I can help you. Amen, and we can do as I say, what the word say, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing. That's when he's going to be in the midst. Now, I know when confusion come in, I understand who's not in the midst. So we want to make sure he's in the midst tonight. And so it's not like you're going to be forced into believing that he exists. You said something about Thomas, brother, pastor.
Okay.
And you said something about him as a result of he wasn't able to see, amen, that there was a power in the struggle. So he decided to say, well, until I'm able to see, amen, he wasn't going to believe. And that's what happens a lot of times. You know, we may have some people that want to call, but because Pastor Dockery is not on tonight, they may be hesitant because they feel like it's not a good time to call because they feel like that boy there, he probably ain't going to deviate from what the topic is, because I'm holding on to what Pastor Dockery said. He said something about that man who had doubt. But once he had a chance to see it, you know, he stepped in, and all of a sudden, he changed his mind. He went to call and said, my God, he didn't realize at that point of not believing until suddenly he became a believer. But look what he said. He had to see it in order for him to believe it. But the word says, bless those who believe and didn't even see it. So you don't have to see it to believe it. And that's the thing about the struggle. Right. You may not see it right off, Pastor Doctor, but in the midst of the struggle, it can make you strong. It's a good point. Amen.
That's what I love.
Very
good
point.
That's what I love about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Right now, it's just you and my pastor and one other son. But you go ahead and do your thing. You go ahead and do your thing. I'm in. We're right here. So,
all right.
How would you, if you had to advise young or old, and to understand that you can't let your struggle stop you or make you sit down, how would you advise them? How would you encourage them?
You would have to be from my experience. I would only be able to help somebody know and understand that all those things that I was dealing with in my life, you know, I had to wait. I had to believe. I had to walk by faith and not by sight, because if I looked at my struggles as they were, I may not have been able to overcome the struggle. So I used my street mentality, if you will, because I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about how the Lord, how he do his thing, and I just used my faith. When I was a gambler, I had faith that when I was shooting craps, I said, well, I got a point, and my point is 8. And I believe I'm going to make it.
Oh,
and I
okay.
might miss it, but it wasn't because I didn't believe I was going to make it. I made sure I was going to make this point. And there were times, Pastor Doctor, that I missed my point, man.
Okay.
But I didn't give up.
Okay.
I had to stay with it. And that's what I used when I went inside God's kingdom. I said, well, maybe I missed it right now because I don't understand him.
Mm.
But I kept on through the struggles.
Okay.
And that's what caused me to use my street mentality. So it's not easy to learn something different. But it's available, and it can happen, and suddenly change will take place. And that's the beauty of knowing that Paul said it like this, when I am weak, then am I strong.
Okay.
You know, it don't sound right. That didn't sound right. You know, if you ask somebody and say, well, how can you be weak and still be strong? It's because of the struggle. In other words, I didn't give up. And if he didn't give up, that means that you'll get evidence. It will appear at some point that because you didn't give up, you made it through the struggle. So it's a good thing, man. And I just encourage anyone call in and join in and with the talk straight tonight. And I think it's a very unique topic. I believe it'll benefit people. And it's just up to the people to take a chance. I don't know if there's any chance takers that's tuned in, but when you're a chance taker and there's a taste of bit of good news available, I can only imagine the phone ringing. Amen.
Well, we have out of St. Louis has joined us thus far. And as I said, tonight, Pastor Paul is going to be leading the discussion. And I will be in the background, but I'm on Facebook, 657-383-0944. I'll post that out there. And Pastor Wallace is leading the discussion. So let me turn it over to you. St. Louis, welcome. And Pastor Wallace is going to be facilitating our discussion now. How your struggle can make you strong.
Amen. Amen. We praise God for St. Louis. Welcome, brother. St. Louis to the table, brother.
Just,
I know you have something to bring to the table. How you doing?
We just lost him. We just lost him.
So, okay. All right. Okay. There we go. Yes, sir.
All right. That's the number. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. And we'll be happy to entertain you. Pastor, happy to entertain you.
So can you hear really, really clear, Pastor Docker? Can you hear me pretty clear?
I do. Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Good. So I want to make sure so we know that if someone called, they may be able to hear. So I just trust that, you know, if the caller called and desired to call back, we would entertain his call. Amen.
Right.
If not, we understand. But this is a great reminder for me. Because when I think about the struggle, and if you don't mind, I can read a little something out of a book that I just picked up when you said something about the trap. And and I said, well, I wasn't going to look for anything about the trap, but since I know the trap is real, I ended up turning a couple of pages, and all of a sudden, I guess you know, I seen something that had to do with the trap.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, The Flip Side, on page 18, man, I see something here. It says in the latter part of the book, it says, earlier I mentioned when you get in a trap and don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine getting in a trap and don't know that you're in one? And that's the thing about that trap, man. You know, getting in a trap. Now it has a lot before that. It just jumped out on me when I saw the word trap, and it says earlier, you know, I had mentioned when you get in a trap and don't know it that you're in one. Remember, it's not your fault. See, a lot of times you can be charged for getting in a trap. But you're being charged falsely, and you don't even know it.
Interesting.
Amen. I'm talking about something right now, Pastor Doctor. See, when you happen to be innocent young kids,
right,
and you're out doing things just for the fun of it, and you don't know, no one have told you that this is a trap. Amen. And then suddenly you get in the trap, and while being in the trap, you still don't even know it. And we're going to come up to speed, and suddenly you find out that it was a trap. And then you say to yourself, I got to do something about this because I didn't know that was a trap. And this is how you deal with the trap, if you don't mind me reading this continually, if you don't mind. It says, it's not your fault. That's the role of the enemy, to make you unaware that you're in a trap, to keep you deceived and to blind you to what is really going on when you are in bondage. See, when they're in bondage, the trap got them, and they're blind to it. They don't know no better, so they don't think it's a trap. You see, and then it goes on and says, I also learned that when you realize that you're in a trap, now here go the good news here. I also learned when you're in a trap, but you now realize it. Check this out. It says you get the right help. Look at that. You get the right help. You can get out and really get free. Mm. And then, check this out, Pastor Duffy.
Okay.
You don't go back. Ain't that good news? See, that's when you get the information. See, now it's different. See, getting in the trap is one thing because the trap was set for me. It wasn't my fault. I didn't know it was a trap. But once I discovered that it was a trap, you notice that I said you get the right help, you can get out and really get free, and then you don't go back. Oh, I like that part. Amen.
Okay.
Nobody can tell me and go. You won't be able to sing that song to me after I realized that I was in a trap and didn't know it. I found out that I was, and I learned about what it took to get out, which I got some good help. And they told me not to go back. So there's no need in singing a song that sounds good to me to say that we fall down. No, you won't be able to get over me with that song telling me I fall down. You can say you fall down or you fail down and you're going to continue to fall. But don't push me down, because it's going to tell me again that you're trying to get me back into the trap. I'm here to encourage anyone. If you don't believe there's a trap that's already set for people who don't know any better, look around and see a group of young people right now, and some actually of age, that's still falling for the trap.
Okay.
What is a trap? What causes a person to be in a trap? Now, not everybody is on drugs, but some people are. And drugs has caused a lot of people to do some of the things that you talked about earlier, Pastor Doctor. You know, they start going against each other. You know, they come up, they was friends, and all of a sudden it make them do strange things to one another. Well, that's part of the trap.
Okay, I see.
But how? Yeah, but how to get free is what we're about here tonight. We're going to talk about some good information. The Bible said, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak.
Of the weak.
We then who are strong. In other words, you have to learn to know that it's okay to be strong, but don't forget that once upon a time you was weak. Now, that's me. I do not want to forget those times when I was weak. So, yes. You know, I would love to learn to appreciate what it takes to not go back to the trap, man. There's a calling. We are waiting, and we would be excited for the ones who may call. But just in case, brother, it's just. The word cleared that up. See, he said that in his word, where there's two or three, I like that, gathered together in his name. See, a lot of people are afraid of his name, man. And it's just the way it is. And see, when you when you don't understand the power, then you don't want to be affiliated with it because it just may cause you to change your mind. You see, that's what, see, there's doubters. That's what Thomas became a believer. But the word said, blessed are those who believe and don't have to see it.
Uh-oh.
And so, see, so some people's beliefs are not genuine and not lined up with the way maker. So that's just like being deceived. In other words, self-deception. When you can deceive yourself, convince yourself that you know what you know when you really don't know, you just sound like you're smart, you're intelligent. But you know there's a thing that the streets said years ago, Pastor Doctor, I heard it myself. It says, an educated fool. Amen. That to me was like this man was so educated, but the brother discovered that he was a fool and ended up changing his life, and all of a sudden he became on the Lord's side. He was affiliated with the Lord, man. I thought that was pretty unique right there.
Right.
A guy named Saul. You know that name, Saul? Saul, yeah, man. Saul was a persecutor. He was an insane man. Educated as he was still insane, you know. But he got himself together. And I thank God for his witness.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's a beautiful thing.
Okay.
Through your struggles.
Okay.
Your struggles can make you strong. Man, that's amazing. How to look and embrace your struggles and realize that through your struggles, you can get strength and make you strong. And it's called endurance. How can I endure the hardship? It's not easy, man. Not easy at all, but it can be done. Thank God. It can be done. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good.
No doubt about it.
That's good.
The number to call is 657. Let me correct that. 657-383-0944. And that's the thing about remembering the number to call just in case someone is listening and is thinking about calling in because they're struggling. Amen. And if they're not struggling, they can still call in and tell us how you got through it. I would like to hear that. Yes, sir. I would love to hear someone call in and say, I remember when I was in the struggle, but now I'm free from it. Amen. So, yeah, just make the call.
Okay.
It would be all right. Make the call.
No, sir.
I would be ever so grateful to hear what they have to say. You know, because I'm open, along with being open-minded, that no matter what you're dealing with, you have an opportunity to call in. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Right. Because the word of God will discipline you and will help you only if you're willing.
Okay.
Only if you are willing. You know, and that's the good part. Yeah, he said, if any man desire to come after me, he told him to do something first, though. He said, look, you have to deny yourself.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Take up your cross daily and follow me. So a lot of them just not willing to follow him. Not so much that they're against the individual. They just may know that if you make a call tonight, amen, you just may hear something that can cause you to be restored or be converted. Amen.
That's
you know,
a good
it's
thing.
Like, yeah,
that's
so
good
you say, well, what a difference a day make. Amen.
Yeah.
So if you're like me and you want to get out of that trap, you know, you got to make a call and see if you can get the right help that you need. And I'm glad I got the right help that I needed to get out of the trap because it is such thing as a trap. Man.
Yeah.
But thank God for freedom, being able to say that, man, I'm free from it. You know, John 8:32 talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about being free. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Thank God. Amen. For the freedom.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir.
We got a caller from Selma, Alabama. I'm with you now.
Selma, Alabama. Got a call. Okay. Welcome, caller.
Welcome.
Amen. Praise God. It sounds like we got a brother by the name of Brother Don, it sounds like, on the line. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm here in Selma. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. How you doing there, Brother Don?
Doing pretty good. We had about three murders here this past week.
Oh, man. About three murders, man. That's some tough stuff going on, man. You're talking about three murders. So that sounds like a lot of things that could be actually befitting for what we're talking about tonight. We were talking about how to make your struggles, you know what I mean? In other words, turn it over to where you can be strengthened and make you strong through the struggles. Because it seems like what we are still doing, we're struggling on, you know, on being who we are. You know, that's a tough thing. Sometimes being who we are, it's almost like you got to struggle to even be the person that you are. When it seems like, you know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he said whosoever. So it seemed like it's still something missing right there, that some people want to allow change to take place in their lives. And that's a struggle that we have learned to deal with by way of forgiving people. We are some very forgiving people. And, you know, it's been a struggle between the two parties for so long, man. And I'm going to talk tonight, if you don't mind, question or two, and then see if you can give us some feedback in this area. You just said there was about three murders up there where you are, okay? And some of the things that's happened, even where I am right here, whether it's by way of an overdose, someone took a gun and was able to do the same thing. It's like a trap that Pastor Dockery and I was talking about. And if we are gunning each other down, what's causing it? Amen. And if we are on the dope and there's an overdose, what's causing it? Could it be the trap? That would be the question that I would ask, because, you know, it's necessary to find a solution to the problem that is. It seemed to be so clear that there is a solution, but when is it going to be applied? How can we get the information out there to the people? Talk to us, if you don't mind, brother, on what you think that could be of help to such a problem as the murders are going on, and I don't know what it caused it, but talk to us, if you will, because the same thing is happening here in Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee, and Selma are very much related. We in the southeastern part of the United States. And what I see in Nashville, I see also in Selma.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good. At least I know now, you know, you just helped me right there. So in other words, there's a style, if you don't mind. And could you imagine that being a style, self-destruction, Pastor Dockery talked about earlier, that could be something that's flowing, that's spreading abroad, so it's no telling where else that's located. But what about the power of love? If we can find ways to get the power of love, shouldn't it be, if you will, a starting point to it where we can say, well, up in Selma, we're getting started. Here in Nashville, we're getting started. In New York, in Chicago, in Detroit, in Atlanta, you know, all over the place. If we can just get started, amen, and do what the Word said, surely many people are not going to pick up the Bible, and that's understandable. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's something about the power of love, the power of one accord, the power of togetherness. And in Hebrews chapter 13, my brother, verse 1 states very clear, and it only have four words. See, we can pick and choose and find many words to say that can cause a lot of harm. But this is just a form of four little words, man, that has so much power. And it says, let brotherly love continue. What about that? Could you imagine, you know, up there, you know, where you are right now, and you know, even names that I mentioned and those that I didn't mention in the areas, would find out those four simple words, let brotherly love continue. Then there won't be no murderers, there won't be no people overdosing. You know why? Because we have found out the love is not in the dope. The love is not in the gunning each other down. The love is in when we apply it one to another. He says how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Talk to me about, should there be some excitement in just knowing that that's available, even though it's a struggle right now. But just to know that the hope is that it's available. And somebody's going to have to put it out there. I want to say this, and I'm going to see if you can ask a question if you have to, or just make a comment. I was going from one side of town to the next, and I remember making some different moves. And everywhere I went, I saw some young brother with his pants hanging all the way down. And I said, wait a minute, they're on different sides of town. How can they adopt such a style and not know that it came from somewhere? Because they're not watching one another from the location in which I know they are dwelling. So how is it getting out there? That's the beauty of knowing that they're paying attention to the styles. Now, that's not saying that they're bad people. That's not saying that they are doing this thing to do harm to others. But it could be because they don't know any better. It could be because someone, amen, is not, I would say, reaching out to them and to explain to them and ask questions to just see, you know, and just tell me what caused you to love this style. Let me know. In other words, school me. You see what I'm saying? You can school me now so I'll know why this is so popular. And then I can get some understanding, because wisdom is the principal thing, according to the Word. You see, but all you're getting, get understanding. So it's okay. Don't belittle them. But just go to them in such a way, and that's what's on my mind right now. And that's what I'm about to do, amen, because I've seen enough of it, and God want me to see it, and so I can approach it in such a loving way. And as soon as I get them to get with me, guess what I'm not going to do, Brother Don and Pastor Dockery? I'm not going to even tell them to pull them up. I'm just going to lead by example and kind of share some things with them and let them know some things that they may be able to embrace, you see. So we got to find a way to reach them. You have to, because it's a style. And I mean, they dropping them so far down now, they may well not have no pants on. That's how deep it's getting. But still, talk to me, somebody. The line is open. We just want to just talk about the struggle. That's got to be a struggle, man. It's not something that they can even see that. They don't even look at it as if it's not appropriate. They can't see that, because I don't think they're doing it in a disrespect. You know, and so we have to find a way to get with them and say, okay, brother, school me. I need to know some things, and I have a right, amen, to ask them as they have a right to ask me about some things. That's what being on one accord is all about. What do you think about that? Would you think that's a very unique approach to, you know, because this is one thing I don't want to do, and I want to say this because I've been in the trap and I know what it was like. I don't want to tell somebody to stop doing something that is not easy to stop. See, that style that they have adopted is not easy to stop, I'm sure. It's an addiction. Just like when I was on drugs, nobody could tell me to stop because I didn't know how. And I'm glad that they didn't try to force me to stop doing something that I didn't know how to do. But I was just explaining to a few people just the other day, when I learned how to stop, I got upset. Because I felt like I should have known a long time ago how to stop, but I didn't. And that's the reason why I would like to approach these young brothers now in such a loving way that maybe we can have a dialogue. We can have a little talk. They can school me. Then I can share with them my experience and why I believe that it would be more effective for the community as a whole. We have to bring the love. We have to do it because all this killing that we're talking about right now on this line, man. And it's tough enough when we're being gunned down by the enemy. Now, I'm not saying this is something that's something to rejoice about, but if a person or people are enemies, at least you know that. But we shouldn't be in that self-destruction mode and causing so much pain on our people. Talk to me tonight, Brother Don. What do you think if we were just distributing love in spite of what's been going on? Do you think it would make a difference?
I think so. Okay. I have talked to a brother that's been in that type of circle. And what I learned by talking to him, we don't share enough intellectual information to our young men, and that's what they're looking for. And okay, that's what I learned by talking to him. And last time I saw him before the other young man got killed Saturday, he said, man, we got to come together. And he understands that we have to come together. And and the coming together, I'm going to say again, is to sharing intellectual information to those brothers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something to y'all. There is reports out right now that state that all gang activity came from the Catholic Church.
My goodness. I want you to say that again for me. All gangs, say that again. I missed it.
Gang's definition of legal term of gang is criminal activity. And according to a book by the name of Dope Inc. that Lyndon LaRouche organization put out, it's a gang's main source came from the Catholic Church. And I don't think the young men know that.
No, surely they don't.
I don't think nobody ever shared that with them.
No, I don't think that's, I agree. I don't think they would know anything about that myself. I know I didn't know anything about it in my come up. In spite of where it come from, but just the thought of knowing that it came from there, as you said, and if that's happened to be true and we don't know it, then how are we getting caught up into the game and we don't even know it? And most brothers that's in the street, I think they're even afraid to even make mention of an affiliation with a religion at all. Not because, you know, anything other than respect. So if we don't know that, then we won't be able to apply that. So yeah, that's good. So now that's a lot of work to put into a community that is already in self-destruction mode because of the trap, and then we have to deal with a lot of things that cause us to have to walk in fear of the color of our skin. I want to talk to you tonight on Talk Straight, because this is what we do. The time is here, and the time is now that we have to demonstrate the power of love in such a way, because it has been displayed now, but the increase of the insanity of the thing that's going on as a result of the trap has caused us not to know what to do. But the buildings now that the people go in, my brothers, And if there's some sisters on the line, I wanted to make that known. It's called the Bible, and they pick it up, and they go into the church, and they go through the process of the tradition that makes the Word of God unaffected. So they had to all disperse. They had to get out of the churches. But now they're gradually going back into the buildings. My question would be, for what? What are they going back into the building for? Are they paying attention to the hurting people that's on the outside of the church? Because most of the time, my brothers and sisters, people are not going to go up into a church the way they are going to go into the streets, because the streets are more popular. The streets got more going on. And it's like the song, I'm in with the in crowd. You know, there's a song by some brothers back then. I'm in with the in crowd. And the in crowd has power to lure people out of the church to get with the world's way. And that's where the problem is. So if they're going back into the church,
could it be, Pastor Waller, that the people that's in the streets know that the people in the pulpit is part of the world too?
Oh, you just hit something right there.
Hold on, Pastor. You got a call from Peoria, Illinois.
Hold that thought, Brother Don. Hold that thought, Brother Don. I got to go back to that thought. You got to keep that and hold that in front of me, okay? Now, come on, Pastor Doc. You got a call from where now?
He's
welcome
calling
call.
Peoria, Illinois. Mama D. Mama D out of Peoria,
okay,
Illinois.
Mama D. Okay. 8112. How you doing, 8112? Welcome to Talk Straight on this night.
I'm so good. Every time I hear y'all voice, I'm hanging in there maintaining, baby.
Amen. Praise God. We praise God for you. And I just want to welcome you in to Talk Straight. We are talking tonight. I mean, and we are enjoying ourselves. We got Brother Don on the line, and he was getting ready to share something with us. But we are talking about how to make your struggle make you strong, how to get through the process of a struggle just to make you strong, how to acknowledge a struggle and find out later on you can be strong. And so Brother Don was sharing something with us, and I wanted to see if you could allow me to get back to him and just stay right there where you are, because we want to talk to you tonight. You know that.
Yes, sir.
Brother Don, you were saying something. Could it be that the pastors are still doing worldly things, brother? And that sounds like where you was at. So that distracts the people that's out there that seek the help, that would like to get free from some things, possibly. At least it should be evidence of a greater example, I think is what you're saying. So talk to us about that when you said, could it be that the pastors of these churches are not, amen, standing firm on the word of God? And that sounds like where you are. I don't want to make that be correct.
Before the coronavirus, a brother had shared with me about the real day of Sabbath being on a Saturday. And then I was doing some research, and as I kept doing research, I come to find out that the churches, the modern-day churches, what they call the first-day churches, all has a Catholic doctrine. And that's when I said to you, maybe the people in the streets know that the pastor themselves are part of the world, just like they are part of the world.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I love the point. You made it very clear, and I'm not going to take anything from that. I'm going to actually entertain it, if you will. So, and let me use myself as an example, because I came from the streets. And so, yes, if it was me coming from the streets and I'm watching the people in the church expecting the change and it's not going down like that, I feel like because they're doing what I'm doing, and they can't help me because they know that they're doing what I'm doing. I'm not saying that by way of they're hanging out with me and doing what I'm doing, but whatever it is that's causing them not to acknowledge that I'm a hurting man and I need some great examples before me, man, that's tough. That's tough. 8112, Don said something right there about, you know, people, the word said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. So it states that very clear, meaning that the people that attend church that's in church, when they come out of that building, they should have such a light on them. Because the word says, according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let, meaning that's a, you play a part of. You are responsible for when you leave out of that building, that somebody somehow should be able to see you in your walk. Now, that doesn't have to happen. It shouldn't. It don't have to take place in the beginning because you may be fresh yourself just walking into the church. But at some point, you should have evidence that God is a good God and he's working with you. Could you talk to us tonight on when the world is out there seeking, doing all they can do to find out, is there any evidence of change available? Should the people in the churches have a light on them that the word says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven? Should the world be able to see something in the people who come out of the church that would cause them to want to get with that, what they have going on in the church? Talk to us, 8112. What do you think about that?
Wow.
And remember, you don't have to be in church to let your light shine, because the world
by the grace of God, and I got my point. What I'm saying is this: everybody are human beings and human flesh, and most people, like you said, a lot of people didn't just start off in church. There was something that redirected them, you know, to start pastors, preachers. I won't blame everything on all pastors and preachers. I would say first time doing it, but we was told this, if you were listening, that this would happen because the devil was a bit of an angel.
Yes, he was.
And probably
he's still working.
He is cast out of heaven into hell of his own. He created his own heaven. And that's okay, it is what it is, and I don't want to talk about that too much.
But it's all right, it's all right.
The struggle that most people walk, when they walk the walk, it makes them stronger, and they don't even realize.
Well, that's where we at, you know.
It gives them a certain strength, because when you weather that storm, when you face with other storms, the first one was different because you didn't know what to do with it. And most struggles are different in their own way, like having a baby. Everybody having a baby don't mean it was smooth sailing for everybody.
That's right. I was always told,
who told you life was going to be easy?
That's right. That's it. And that's why the struggle is so important. And I think that's the beauty of the struggle. See, there's some beauty in the struggle, 8112. And then I want you to listen to this right here. You just said something right there. So I want to kind of elaborate on this and ask you to just listen to this portion right here and tell me. It says, how your struggle can make you strong. Could you imagine? Now, how your struggle can make you strong. And all I can think about was my life and how I was so weighed down with the cares of the world and didn't know nothing about God. So that was a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And then I found out later on, and I ended up getting my life together. And so God led me and pointed it out to me, some things. And Romans chapter 15 and verse 1 says, we then that are strong. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I remember when I was not strong. But now I can say, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So I had to acknowledge I was weak. I wasn't always strong. And you said that earlier about some that in the church haven't always been strong. And that's why I say we should be able to let our light shine. Once we become strong, don't go back into being weak as if you didn't get the strength, because that's a disrespect to the Lord. You know, he said, look, I know you was weak when you came. I didn't put you down. I accepted you as you were. And now I'm giving you strength to be strong in some areas. So walk therein so somebody else can say, how did you do that? I've been watching you. I remember when you used to do this, that, and the other. And that's the time you really wait for someone to approach you like that. Well, that's what happened with me. And they would say, how did you do it? And I would have to simply say and tell them how I was able to do that. And that's where the light comes in at, because people are watching. And when you have people watching, it's no excuse to be able to overlook someone that's watching you from afar and saying, this person is doing something different. And I remember when they used to do the same thing I'm doing. Maybe I'll get the courage one day to ask them, you know. So you never know is what I'm saying. That has exactly. happened to me, and that's why it's so wonderful to know that don't always pretend like you were strong when you know right. you was weak. And don't deny it if you're strong now. See, that's what I say. You don't want to deny the strength when God give it to you.
But,
and that's the thing that I have to deal with. Go ahead, 8112.
With me, everybody's struggle is, excuse me, everybody's
struggle.
Like I said, when the police murdered my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still caring and loving and giving, trying to learn how to forgive, but I didn't understand. Never knew I was weak.
Yeah, okay.
Until one day, Peoria, Illinois, and the whole time I was in Minnesota.
Okay.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
It's all right. Talk to me. You're all right. God's giving you, giving you strength now.
Say, I felt my health.
Yeah, okay. You said something like that.
He
took your
help. He had to pick me up.
Yeah.
And carry me because I don't know how I knew how I was doing it, but I didn't understand.
Right, there you go.
Struggling and heartbroken and a lot of experiencing the feeling that I felt, especially, I mean, a lot of people already for hundreds of years.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, I mean, that's a great experience for you, too, in spite of.
But it didn't feel good. And I felt like, I don't know. I was always taught you don't question what God does.
But it's
so,
all right. Just a little talk
may
with
be different from mine. The struggle is still what it is. When people struggle, it makes you survive. You are able, and if you believe what I think.
You've gotten better, if I don't mind. You don't mind me asking that, 8112. You've gotten better because you're able to talk about it from time to time and talk straight. You know, you've grown it up. But let me ask you this. You knew you was weak. You recognized you was weak. And it was tough on you because you wondered, you said you wondered how did you make it through, and now that you feel like you're stronger now, right? Is that something that you could say that you're stronger now?
I am stronger now, even though I still fight with other struggles in life, as you call it, which is true. I am stronger now, but I am only strong because I pray. I still have my meltdowns. I still go through my phases. But that also helped me to get even stronger to the point, yes, I talk more about it now than I used to. Every day,
every day
is a struggle at times. Some days I do certain things and I don't even worry about it.
Okay. So that sounds like you get stronger.
He showed me he had it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Man. That's good.
I pray for my strength. The mind is a terrible thing to wait.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's good news, yeah, because that's what we need. We definitely need strength to get through these times, you know, when you feel weak and then you know that you feel weak, so you have to have that strength to get you through. And that's why the topic is so important, what we're talking about now, that, you know, how to make your struggles, you understand, cause you on purpose to be strengthened. That makes sense. I mean, you know, it's like, how can I be strengthened through my struggle? Yeah, that's what makes you strong when you stay with it, when you endure the hardship and things
but
like that. So, yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt the call. I'm sorry. Real quick before I forget, y'all know I lose my train of thought kind of quick.
Yeah.
When you are used to struggling all your life, the struggle don't feel like a struggle. It feels like life and survival. Some people make things harder than it has to be. But when you struggling to survive and not doing bad things, Mike, I ain't saying that. I'm saying I struggle with that, but I also had that put in my face where I had to deal with it. Then God blessed me at a certain point where you and Pastor Dockery, and I get on there, and y'all done heard me boo-hoo, and everybody that was listening all over the world, I don't care.
That's all right.
But then I found strength in conversation, whether I was in the church is a building to me. I don't have to be inside of the church to recognize what I'm dealing with and who I'm speaking with.
No, you don't. You don't. You really don't. And that's why I said that, you know, when you place two or three people together in his name, touching and agreeing, that's when he's in the midst and don't have nothing to do with the building. And that's why I like, you know, what I've learned about that when he says, go out into the world. So I'm that kind of person who understand, you know, I'm ignorant and unlearned in so many areas of my life. But I'm good at admitting that, you see. And so that doesn't mean that because I'm ignorant and unlearned that I'm not willing to find out about some things that would be beneficial. So that's what made me go through the struggles like I did and became, you know, strong. And I'm not going to deny it now after all them years of being weak and I thought I was going to use drugs the rest of my life. I used to say that. I remember saying that. Yeah, that was a weak individual saying that. I was weak.
And I admire you for that.
Yes.
And got it all sold up quicker than a man that has not walked those shoes you put on your feet and walked them. Because somebody else, they have been living the same life you was living, said, I got to share this with the world because I've been delivered.
Yes, yes, important. You know, because the world can hear you when you're weak, and as you just said, you know, when you're feeling down, you have a right to give the world some of that while you're strong, and let them know that hey, I stayed with the process, and I know that it's okay to go through. You know how that saying said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Lord have mercy. And when that joy came, 81:12, I had a hard time with it. I couldn't even believe that I had changed. So, you know, it was, I had to get used to it. It was something that it shocked me. So, but the beauty of it is that I stayed with the struggle. I didn't allow the struggle to overtake my knowledge of knowing that there's a possibility that even I could change. And, you know, and it's just good to have a topic like that tonight.
It is. And I wonder, so I interrupted Don, I'm sorry, and I wanted him to speak because I didn't mean to interrupt. I just didn't want to lose my train of thought.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Well, we'd be on the same accord and everything. Don, she's yielding the floor to you, brother. Talk to us, man, because we've got a great conversation going on. And we thank Pastor Dockery for the topic, man. Go ahead, Brother Don.
You know, I was listening to her from Peoria, Illinois, and I was going to say something. I sent some information to my cousin, Dwayne, today, and Dwayne was saying something that our people don't know how to make law. And I said, brother, that's so true. He was young. He's younger than me. And I said, that's so true. And I said, we don't know how to make laws, and we don't know how to make policy. We never was taught that as a people.
That's deep. That's deep, brother. So that's something that should be addressed. That's something that should be on the table because it makes a lot of sense, man. I mean, we follow the laws of everything that they tell us we have to do for those that have to abide under the law of what they call the law. There's some laws that I had no knowledge of until I got downtown, 8112. I didn't know.
Right.
You call this what I was doing, breaking the law. I didn't know that. That was a trap. Now don't charge me for that. Don't belittle me because I got on dope. I didn't try to do that. You know, I thought I was having some fun. I wasn't. I was an innocent kid. So when you say that, Brother Don, you know, it should be a law. Now, this is me talking. This is me talking now. We talk straight. This is what we do. I would say it should be a law that if a person is sick, the person should not be sent to the penitentiary because the person is sick. You take a person that's sick. Whether you send a person that's sick at 8112, if you have to answer that question, and Brother Don, if I'm sick, shouldn't I go to the hospital?
Yeah, but some people are sick to the point that they couldn't do the function. They ain't that doggone sick because they know what that is.
I'm talking about on drugs. The person on drugs. Alcohol. If they're on alcohol or if they got a bad habit and it's a trap. Now, we're talking about a trap now.
I'm in a trap. I drink alcohol. I take care of all my responsibilities by the grace of God.
Some people do things
by even though it is a condition and a problem, as far as scientists say. I mean, certain ones say. I'm sorry, Ruben.
You know how they say what they call it? They give you a test and
they call them functional alcoholics. Functional drug users. That's what they call it. I know exactly what they call it.
Yeah, they got drug users, people that can use drugs and don't do no harm. People that, got what it takes, to make it through it functional, as you just said. But when a person is sick and don't know anything about that, then you send them to the penitentiary and they get back out and they do the same thing because they are sick. If they had knowledge, I'm using myself as an example. When I went to that place called a treatment center, I found out that I was a sick individual.
Yeah.
And I found out, now I know what to do. I talked about it earlier. I want you to listen to this reading out of the flip side. You have the flip side book, 8112. I want you to look at page 18 one day and drop down at the bottom at the last paragraph. And before the last paragraph, you're going to see something, and it's going to be really, really nice. But I'll read this portion of it right here. I said earlier, I mentioned, when you get in a trap and don't know it, you don't know that you're in a one, remember, it's not your fault. Now watch this. That's the role of the enemy, to keep you deceived and to blind you to what is really going on when you are in bondage. I also learned that when you realize that you're in a trap, now here's the change right here. When you realize that you're in a trap, that's what happens with you. Then I said this right here. I said you get the right help. You can get out and really get free. And then you don't go back. You see, I don't go back. You know why? Because I got the right information. I got the right help. Now I know. And that's what I mean by the trap. And that's on page 18 of the flip side. I mean, it's amazing that the trap is real. And some people don't know how to get out because I thought, as I said earlier, I mentioned it. I said I was going to use drugs the rest of my life. Could you imagine how sick I had to be to say that? I'm talking about. I actually said it because I didn't have no knowledge of how to get free.
Yeah, you said
and that
it.
Happens, that happens a lot
was
of times.
Had a path for their life, and that was the point you were at that time, but then. The good Lord, only the good Lord, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody could tell your pastor, and you didn't even have one back in the day, but the one you stumbled into and went into that house that day, as you said, he left an impression upon you, not a judgment.
No, he did. That's right. He showed, he put out plenty of love. I mean, he did. And I admired him from there. And that's why I do what I do, because of that. If that's what he passed down to me, I have a right to pass it down to other people. And that's the beauty of knowing that we have a right to respect people where they are. You never want to put people down for what they're doing, because you never know the change may be just in reach. Before you know it, that person has changed. Hey, great conversation. I mean, we're really actually having a joyful time And just to remind ourselves that the struggle, some people get there sooner than others, and it's so good to know that at least it can be accomplished. So we want to ask you if there's someone that's desiring to call in, you know, the number is 657-383-0944. On behalf of Pastor Dockery, and as he allowed me to step in to carry out the service tonight, we praise God for him sticking to us, a topic like that. You know, I mean, talking about the struggle, it gives me a great reminder myself. You know that thing that used to say, 8112, and say, he brought me from a mighty long way. And that's what the man did, you know what I mean? He brought me. He gave me the strength. He gave me the power. He taught me what it was like to be free. And then he asked me a question, 8112. Could you imagine God is so loving he'll get down to your level to bring you up to his? That's what he did with me. So he got down to my level because he knew that I loved that drug called heroin. He knew I loved it. See, when God is a witness, God is a witness when no other can be a witness like him. So he got down to my level. He said, Ricky, call my name. See, I have a high for you. And if you don't like it, you can always go back to the one you love the most. And I was like, wait a minute, hold up. He even told me that if I didn't like it, I can go back to the one he knew I loved the most. And guess what happened, 8112? When I got a hit of that high he had to offer me, I never went back to the one that I used to love the most. Isn't it amazing to know that I took him up on his word, and I accepted and I embraced it, and I really appreciate him offering me that. That was the love. He could have said, well, no, you've been doing this for so long. You know, why you didn't stop doing it? Well, he knew I was weak. He knew I was struggling. He knew I didn't have no power. But when he gave it to me, he said, "You can, if you don't like it, you can always go back to the one you love the most." He knew I loved that stuff that was destroying me. See, people right today, stuff is destroying the community, and people are loving that stuff, but they're hurting. You know, they're hurting because they feel like they got to have it, and things like that is tough. And so I want to thank Pastor Dockery for bringing up such a powerful topic tonight. You know, how to take your struggles and how to become effective in knowing that you can be strong in the process of it. Amen. The floors are open. The floors are open. Anybody have something that they desire to say concerning the arena? You may know somebody. You might want to call somebody and tell them what we talked about tonight. Let them know that, look here, we talked about a struggle tonight, and we just want to make sure that if you're in a struggle, you can be strengthened with the struggle that you're in. So you don't want to keep that. The floor is open. Yeah, the floor is open. Anybody have anything to say?
Somebody said Pastor Ricky, I heard. You hear me?
Hey, somebody calling in. Somebody calling in. We on the line. Is this Sister Candy?
Yeah, but I thought I was on the line.
Yeah, well, what you do, you dial 657.
I'm driving. I got to call you back.
Okay. All right. Call us back. We're on the line. We wait on you. All right. Thank you. All right. Bye. Somebody might have been tuned in to 8112, so you let that be known. We appreciate you.
That's the Ricky.
Yeah. Ain't that all right? That let me know that, you know, that's a beautiful thing to hear. Yeah. They made it known that they wanted to know that they was driving and they couldn't get the number because they were driving, and that's understandable. But thank God for them just reaching out like that.
That's the truth.
And everything. Amen. Hey, Brother Don. So, yeah, man, 8112, we're having a wonderful time tonight. I want to thank you all again for calling in, because this is when you have something to offer and then you withhold it from those who actually desire it. It's detrimental to life. So when we talk about this, we can go tell somebody, amen, if they didn't get a chance to tune in, if they don't know anything about Talk Straight, we can at least share some things with them about struggling. And they just may be in a struggle right at that time. And all they want to do is just listen to what you're getting ready to say. And then you encourage them and let them know, even though you may be struggling, your struggles can make you strong enough to get free from it. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, hey, that's what we should be able to live for, is to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good work. Not just work, but a good work. And then glorify our Father in heaven. That's awesome. You know, that's really, really awesome. So that's what I live for. I want y'all to pray for me, and because on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the people in the streets, 8112, Brother Don, the people in the streets now, they want to do something for Minister Rick.
Oh, wow.
I didn't ask them.
Bless your heart.
8112, I didn't ask them for that. They feel like it's time for people to recognize all this work that I'm doing. And sometimes it's just good that God touch people to let them know
you are
that, brother, I know you've been struggling, and I know you've been doing a whole lot for this community. But just because you didn't give up, now some of them same weak people is getting ready to show you how much they appreciate your strength. Isn't that something?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
But that is beautiful. I feel joy for you for that.
Yeah, well, I surely appreciate that. I was honored just to hear them say it, and I think I was like, man, that's awesome. God just know when to keep the hope alive. Because, see, that's tough to just bear that type of weight to carry around in a community, and you don't feel like they're getting it, you know, and it's like you want to give up on them. That's a struggle.
He's letting you know.
Yes,
he said it. Nobody else said it, and he's
going to
make you know who said it. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, wow. That's it. That really was. Yeah, so I just want to encourage you all to be aware of that, and so be lifting up that day and just trust that it would be beneficial, because I don't know what the Spirit of God is going to do other than to make me aware that it's happening. It's going down. In other words, it's getting ready to take place.
You're
going to
your heart and tears to your eyes.
Oh, my. Listen, if you're 81, you know how to get to me. I know that. You're my girl. You know how to get to me. I mean, that's, you already did when you said that. And that's the beautiful thing about, you know, there's a joy that comes from that, from that thought. You know, if they just have, if they just enjoy themselves when they're surrounded, when they don't run from me and just come to me, That's a joy by itself, you know, to know all those hurting people are getting ready together, you know, and they're going to have their food, they're going to be giving away their food and things like that, you know, but they're going to be considering, you know, acknowledging what I've been doing. So, again, I don't know what they're going to do other than that. And it's all right with me just knowing that they'll be able to assemble. Yeah, just to know they assemble is good enough for me, you know, to recognize that they're not afraid. They just don't know how to come to power. You remember that light we were talking about earlier? You know, I was once in that struggle that they're in, and so it made me stronger. And now that I'm stronger, I can acknowledge that, and I don't want to deny it. You know, I'm very humble with it, and I don't go around telling them, "Don't y'all do this. You can't keep doing that." And that's the thing. I'm sure they have to love that, because I never have.
They do.
Done them that way.
They know that, you know,
never,
you've been there, I think.
Yes, and I never will do them like that.
And some people have been there. Not all of them ain't been there. They just like what you do. And just because you've been through, everybody goes through different kinds of struggles, is what I keep saying.
Sure,
and,
without a doubt.
You know, but it is what it is. And as you always say, and I say too, on the flip side of that coin,
Yeah, there's another side.
It will.
Amen.
Work
is there's another side.
Praise God. Good or the bad.
There's another side. We praise God for that. Amen. Right. Look at the time. It's rolling by. I'm getting ready to say what Pastor Doc is doing to the time. He just got it like this. If the time is rolling on, and we are having a mighty good time. We thank God for the opportunity. As I said earlier, you know, the Word of God, you know, it's something that's available. And he wanted us as we are. You know, that's the best way for us to get in a relationship or a stronger relationship with him, is to come as we are. Brother Don, you said something from the start when we was talking, man. And I'm still thinking about that. Because surely 8112 might be able to tap into it as well. Don said earlier there was three people have gotten murdered, he said, up there, you know, where he's located. And I would say that it's happening here in Nashville as well. And, you know, surely if it's going on up there where you are, 8112, I say if people are being harmed, I would say, rising up against each other up in the area where you are, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to take four words? I was talking about four words that was in the Bible according to Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm just rewriting it right now. Because words are powerful, and we speak a lot of words a lot of times, and it'd be more than four words. It'd be like a lot of words, but we only have four words. Let brotherly love continue. Here's Miss Candace back. Are you needed? The number is 657-383-0944.
Okay.
The people are waiting on you. They're excited for your call in there. Call on in. We'll be waiting on you, all right?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye now. 8112, she's getting ready to call. Her name is Candace. She have been in the struggle. Glory to God. And I thank God that she desired to call in on us. She may have heard a little something tonight, so it's just a beautiful thing. Yeah. So we'll get a chance to hear what she has to say. And we thank God for her, because I noticed that she have let her tell her story, if she will. I would appreciate it if she did. It would be outstanding. I just trusted I gave her the right number.
Well, you gave her the right number, 0966. Okay. But guess what? She called for a reason. There was something that somebody said, including you, that touched her heart.
Well, that's all right. Well, that's beautiful. That is
so
beautiful.
She must have
no doubt.
Her time, because she called back to you.
You call on her.
There she goes.
Yes. Okay. You call her. Is that you, Miss Candace? All right. Well, welcome to Talk Straight. We welcome you. We just were talking about you and thanking God that you consider calling in. We were talking on the topic tonight. It's a very unique talk, talking about the struggles. And that's something that I'm sure that you can talk to us about, some of the struggles that you've had in life and how your struggles have made you strong. You know what I mean? Talk to us tonight about how your struggles have made you strong.
Well,
because you said it can make you strong. Have your struggles made you strong in life?
My struggles didn't make me strong, but Jesus made me strong. Because this is where I'm at in life. I went in NA over 30. I'm 61, so 30 years of my life, I was bound up with the devil. 8.5 years ago, I was saved. I was in the church, and I had rededicated my life, but I still was straddling the fence. And I was singing in the choir, and I was going to Bible study, but I slipped about 5 or 6 times. And the devil wanted me to continue to go to church and wear this mask like I didn't use Friday and was in the choir box on Sunday. But God don't say, go to your leader and let your leader know that you used again. Because we want to dress up. We want to dress everything up and make everybody think everything is right. Well, I did that about 5 or 6 different times, and my minister called me to the front on a Thanksgiving morning 8 years ago and prayed for me, laid hands on me, and I never looked back. So
my
thing is, this is where I'm at. I experienced some things Sunday, and this is where I'm at. The world do not want to hear the truth. The devil trembles, and there's a lot of devils right there in the church, and I hate to say it, but and I really don't hate to say it, but
the devils are
in the church.
Yeah,
and I'm
telling you, come to
the
church.
People in the church, it's people that's in the church don't want to hear the truth. They want people that God have delivered to be quiet. No.
Oh, my.
Got a new caller.
It's so sad that people want us to be quiet when we know for a fact that we were healed and delivered through the word of God, the blood.
Yeah, now listen, hold that thought right there. I need you to continue, but let me welcome that caller just called in, and you're going to continue on. Caller, you're welcome to Talk Straight. Are you tuned in to us? I'm calling you.
Man.
Okay, okay. Let me get back. We're going to get
That's old Josh.
That's old international Josh. Hold that thought, Josh. 81-12 is going to get the rejoicing on you now. So let's get, we're going to get right back with you just for a second. Let's go back to Miss Candace and finish talking to us about what you said is struggling and how you were dealing with the church and how the devil, because he does come in there.
He don't come in there.
Yeah.
He's in there. So let me say this for all the church people. And I was able to return back to my hometown. Celebrate my pastor's 35th anniversary. And after the service, you know, everybody, I know it's the COVID going on, but I see people in a restaurant sitting, they're not sitting 6 feet apart. Went to church. I'm going to tell you something, how the devil, I already know he's scared of me. So when I got to the church, they took your temperature, you get in. It was, the blinders are real long. So I saw some of my sisters in Christ. That's what they said they were. But they didn't treat me like they was my sister in Christ. One lady moved all the way to the end. It was only two people on the business. But I'm going to tell you something. I already know I walk with power and authority.
Okay.
So
and you're not ashamed of it.
The devil's going to tremble.
So you're not ashamed of it, right?
God healed you. Excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not ashamed of walking in the power, though, is what I'm saying. That's what I was telling
you
earlier.
No, I ain't ashamed of it.
Yeah.
But
okay, good.
When
that's
people
good.
Know,
that's all right.
But when people know that you were healed in the when people know for a fact that you was healed in the liver, they scared. They would rather to see you go back than to see you continue to tell your testimony what the goodness of Jesus Christ is. I guess they consider themselves, I can consider them as being the devil. Because let me say this, after I said what I said about my healing and deliverance, you could not hardly get five people in that church to wave at me. God made me aware of who they were.
But that's all right. You was not doing anything other than rejoicing in what the Lord has done for you. When you shared with others, you did your part. And like the devil believes, but yet still trembles. So some of them are in that state right now, but later on would probably get a chance to come to you, but just not right now, and say, I remember when you shared something in there, but I was just too shame and just wasn't able to just let you know that. And so you keep walking in power. It's what you have to do. And that's the thing that we were talking about earlier, about that struggle is very powerful. And once you let it be known that the Lord was able to give you the power to get free, you claiming Jesus now. And so you let it be known this is how you got free. So just keep doing what you're doing. We really appreciate you and that testimony. Don't go nowhere. Let me welcome Josh in, for Josh just came in, and we want to hear what he has to say. Josh, you hear what the sister just said about her testimony? Should she continue to walk in power, or should she let the people that's in there that seem like they didn't like her sharing what Jesus had done for her. Talk to us, Josh, about that, because she once upon a time was in the struggle. She got free from it, and she just letting it be known that the Lord blessed her to get free. 8.5 years, you say, Sister Candace?
Yes, yes.
Hey, Josh, Should we rejoice with her? She's got 8.5 years. She's been delivered from a drug.
I can't hear him.
Yeah, that's all right. He's going to put it out there for us. So we have a right to rejoice with her, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sister Candy. He's not agree with that. Yeah, so we had that right to rejoice with you, sister. So yeah, you had to say something, Miss Candy. So what did you about to say again?
Okay, let me say this. I lost my oldest brother 11 years ago. And it was in Knoxville. And the rapper DMX, the one that just died, he came to my mother's house. We didn't know he was coming to my mama's house. He came to my mama's house. Now, he had then changed his life. He started preaching the word and stuff, and he was caught up. But some people will hold themselves in bondage. So we don't know really what happened to him. Somebody could have killed him in the industry. We don't know. But I'm going to say this to you.
Just don't know.
When I was looking at a documentation of him, and he was preaching, and he had the Bible in his hand. And he said, this is what the Bible says. He said, people perish. Woo, Lord, this is what got me, because of the lack of knowledge.
Yeah,
okay, guess what it was? I broke down and cried. I broke down crying because this has happened to me. And I call you tonight. It happened to me. And when I heard
That's
him say that, all I can do was think about you. Trying to get and feed me the word of God. And you always say you come and you went and got that dope, but you don't want to come over here and get what God got for you. You said he got something for you. And if I had been where I should have been 3 years ago, because it's been 3 years ago since I've been over in your presence to receive face-to-face. And then we've been on the phone back and forth ministering, but I got convicted. And I've been convicted, and I was convicted when he was telling me, but I really got convicted when I heard the man that just OD'd, or if they killed him or however, he went away from here. I knew he knew God, but when he spoke that, 2 days ago, I broke down and cried and asked God to forgive me. And I'm great to come back and start letting you teach me the word of God.
My goodness. Oh, my. Awesome.
What a man did save me just to save me.
Praise God. Yeah, my people are perishing.
He's on here for a reason. Yeah, what I told you.
Yeah. Yeah, you did, 8-1-12. She said that.
I feel her pain because I hear it in her. And you doing what you need to do, my sister. I don't even know you, but I know this. Keep your convictions strong.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome there. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, 8-1-12, what you're saying is that, because I know that she has been doing so well, and then, you know, and she's very supportive of the ministry thing. And look here, 8-1-12, she's so supportive of the ministry, and then she still, you know, is on the other side of town, a little bit further out, but I explained to her how she used to go get the drugs, so come and get the word like that, because the enemy don't want you to come and get this word. I mean, it's not like she's not supportive, because she is. She sends finances to the ministry, you know, but yet still, it's like, come and get the word, because he don't want you to get that. And that right there, what you said, 8-1-12, we really appreciate that, because she came on, and she's telling it to the world that it convicted her when she heard that our people are perishing for the lack of knowledge. And she know I have the word of God, and I'm willing to teach her, because she deserves it. I mean, she really deserves it. She do a lot for a lot of people and things like that. And so you're on the right track. Just follow through with it, Sister Candace. And you know I'm here with the word, and right here for you.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. That's awesome. Let's hear Brother Josh. You know, again, if you will, 8-1-12 and Brother Don and Sister Candace. Let's listen to Brother Josh. Brother Josh, you're still on the line. Brother, we wind you down with time, but we thank God for you. We have about 11 minutes, and we have been rejoicing. We're talking about the struggles, and you can talk to us about some of the things that you, Brother Josh, have been dealing with, but yet still 8-1-12 can be a witness. You came back with power, brother. So, you know, talk to us about how you've been dealing with situation, and we'll give you an ear, man. We want to hear what you got to say.
Well, God is merciful.
Good and
merciful.
Can't complain. Listen to this brother.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. 8 years of age. Struggling with seizures and things like that. And Josh been pushing on my brothers and sisters encouraging us. You know, we're so excited when Josh get on and talk to us about that. And Josh schools us. He take the word and put it on us a lot of time, you know. And that's the beauty of it. And man, we just praise God for you, Josh, man. I mean, because, you know, you bring so much love and power, you know, to Talk Straight, man, that we just wanted to give way to you and to let you in on what we was talking about. And I think we're very encouraged by that, man. We all, as 8112 said it so eloquently, you know, have those struggles. And once we get through them and we acknowledge God, and I was saying we have a right to let our lives so shine before men that they would see our good work and then glorify the Father in heaven, because he's worthy to be glorified. So we don't want to be stripped from the light, you know, because sometimes the darkness don't comprehend it, but you still have to let it shine until such a time that they confess and say, look, I've been watching the light, but I was just too afraid to come any closer. So I watched it from afar. But now I'm bold enough to say I'm ready for the light. That's the flip side. Amen.
Right.
So, yeah, thank God for everybody. We're going to go around and give everybody a chance. And on this night, if you will, since I am, you know, holding down the spot for Pastor Dockery as hosting the show tonight, I'm going to ask someone to fill in when it's time to pray us after everybody had a chance to talk. I'm going to see if there's any volunteers tonight. So this is a time where we all can have a part in tonight in giving God his just due praise, because he's worthy to be praised, and he have allowed us to look back on the struggles of life and brought us all the way on up to where we are now, as being able to say, but we made it through the process of the struggle. So just in case that happened to be you and you're going to volunteer, but just remember, we're not going to be all of us volunteering at the same time. So is anybody ready to volunteer now? So when it's time for us to wind down, you'll be the one that would pray in the last couple of minutes that we'll have. And you don't have to pray long, or you don't have to pray too short. Just pray from the heart. It's what we have to. Anybody going to volunteer? And then we'll go around and give everybody a chance to talk. Anyone? Who's that? Is that Brother Josh?
Yeah.
Who's that speaking? Is that Brother Josh? Okay, Josh, in the end, brother, you would be the one that's going to pray, okay?
Okay.
Right now we're going to ask 8112, what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and talk to us tonight about how we was able to conduct ourselves tonight concerning the topic. It's been very pleasant tonight.
I think that everyone conduct themselves in a beautiful way. Everyone got a chance to share their most intimate feelings. Also, God put us, the few that's on here is for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing happens without it being for a reason. And this is a positive reason and a beautiful reason. I was so I recognized Josh's voice when I heard it, even though it sounded so old. I said, that's Josh. I interrupt what you were saying.
That's right.
And
I was rejoicing with you.
I'm supposed to hear that Josh is doing better. And the lady that's on here with us?
Yes, without a doubt.
Oh, man. Because Pastor Waller, to me, as we all, everybody has a story to tell. And when they reach out to certain people, it don't have to touch everybody, just a few select, and then they feel it's going to share it with somebody else.
That's great.
God bless us all, and everybody stay safe. This radio station has been such an inspiration for me. I ain't been on here like that in a while, but I'm grateful that I got on here tonight as well as Tuesday.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. 8112. We really appreciate that. That's good. Brother Don, you still in the line? Amen.
No,
Brother Don. Okay. Amen. All right. So we're going to go to Sister Candace. You know, you got a thing that you like to say as we wind down, you know, where the time is winding down. And we just want to make sure we acknowledge everybody to have a say.
I just want to say, I just thank God for his mercy, his grace. I thank God because I'm going to say this, and I know one thing, and I know in my heart that he didn't heal and deliver me for me to be quiet. See, I believe from the jump street, he know I got a big mouth and I love to talk. He knew what he was doing when he took it from me, because I won't be quiet. I won't be quiet. I tell my story whether you want to hear it or not. I won't be quiet.
That's it.
The rock won't cry out for me. That's for sure.
That's right.
Oh, Lord,
hey, that
sure won't.
Yeah, and I tell you, just keep doing what you're doing, and the way that you're doing it, it is beneficial to somebody, you know. And it's just an order that when you are not ashamed of the gospel, and that's the good news, and that's why you tell people. And it's not because you're looking for any points. It's just the love that you have for the Lord, and you just want to let people know that you're not ashamed of what he's done for you. And that's the beauty of it. And that's the way, you know, I think people deserve to at least hear it. So whether they respond to it in the manner of in which you think they should or not, it's all right, because you did your part. And that's why I always say this right here. If you keep it to yourself, then no one would know what he has done for you. And that would be detrimental to say, I should have said something and I didn't. You don't want to go around living like, praise God for you, Sister Candy. And I just want to say something before I turn it over to Brother Josh. I want to thank God for everybody who was able to have a say tonight, those that were listening. And we also want to thank God for the topic tonight, because it's wrapped up in the struggle sometimes that will cause people to get a chance to know that there is a way to get strong. I will leave us on this note with this scripture, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Josh. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, as I said earlier, we men that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Isn't it beautiful to know? He says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So we should be concerned for our neighbors. Brother Josh, are you ready for us now to say a word of prayer so we can, you know, just thank you for desiring to do so, man. It's been a great night. We yield back to you, Brother Josh.
Thank you for this day that the Lord has given us. Thank you for everybody that has taught me how everybody to be closer to you, Jesus, every day.
Effectual verb of prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. And we just want to thank